Succession number 23370, Reel 1.
Bernard Cox, Reel 1. So can you tell me where you were born?
In Cheltenham.
Yeah. And what did your father do?
He was a butcher.
He had his own shop, did he? No,
he worked. He managed a shop for,
Right. And you went to school in Cheltenham, did you?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where did you go?
I went to Norton Park, infants and junior school. Mm-hmm. And then after, when I was 11, I went to the Cheltenham Central School.
And that was like a sort of technical school?
In later years it became the technical school, yeah. But basically what one did at 11, you took an examination and you either went to the boys' grammar school or you went to the central school or you stayed on at a senior school.
Right.
But you had to pass an examination to get to the central school, which was a school for commercial education. It wasn't sort of like academic. We didn't. We learnt a language, but we did things like business economics and shorthand, things like that.
Right. Mm. And in your family, were you an only child?
No, I had a brother.
Right. Or is he older or younger?
Older.
Older, yeah. Mm-hmm. And did your mother work?
No, not only until my father died.
Right.
And then she went out to work, yeah.
Right. And when did he die?
It was in 1942 he died, so I was would have been 14, wouldn't I? Yeah.
Right. So that was quite a big disruption then.
Yes, quite a big disruption. Yes, yeah. Mm.
But did you manage to stay on in the same house?
Oh yes, 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 yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you came to leave school, how old were you then?
15.
Yeah. And had you done any exams?
Yes. Oh yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We took. You either took the Oxford. School certificate or you took the Royal Society of Arts. So I took the Royal Society of Arts because it was mainly to do with we did business economics, a commercial education, rather than learning languages and Latin and all that sort of thing.
So what did you want to do when you left school?
Well, I think I wanted to go into sort of some form of accountancy. So I went to work for a shipping company in the accounts department.
Right, was that in Cheltenham? Or?
Yes.
Yes. Oh right, yeah. So you were the very junior one in the accounts department.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And actually, you were the office boy. Yeah. when you started work here. Yeah. Mm. They were during the war. The shipping companies were evacuated out of London. Can I put it that way? Mm. And they came to Cheltenham. And they were a steamship company, which was for tramp shipping company. It was carrying cargo, not passengers.
Yeah.
And so they came to Cheltenham during the war, and I joined them in Cheltenham.
Oh, right.
I basically joined them when somebody got called up.
Yes.
So they had a vacancy, and I went there. Mm. Right. But you were just sent to somewhere from school. Or not exactly sent somewhere, but you were given various sort of opportunities. I mean, people who were, a friend of mine was very good at art, and he wanted to be going to draftsman, so he went into sort of working for Doughty Rotel or someone like that. But I was more interested in accounts, and there was a vacancy in this company, so I went there.
Yeah. Mm. Do you remember the name of the company?
Yes, it was called Stanhope Steamship Company.
Oh, yeah.
And
where were they trading with mainly?
Oh, well, of course, during the war, they weren't trading with anyone. The Ministry of Transport, as it was then, told you where the boats had to go to because the war was on. So they had their own fleet of ships called Stan. It was called the Stan Line. There was Stanhope, Stan Realms. And then the government gave them ships as well. So they had boats which were all called Fort something, and the other boats were called Empire something. And the boats just went away. They had to pick up cargoes for during the war. But it could be anything. Could be timber, coal, grain. Just it could be armaments. Yeah. And some of the boats were actually used in the Mulberry Harbour with the invasion. Yeah, I think when I can't remember how many, one or two were anyway. I think
Was that when you were with them?
Yes, because the war was on then. Yeah, I think what was it? Not sure the date of the invasion, 6th of June, something or other. Was it? Well, I was with them then, yeah. Mm.
Do you remember them, you know, because that would be a lot of arrangement, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, the invasion was very secret, but obviously...
No, we didn't know anything about that. Right, I didn't know.
Right,
no.
So the company must have been told, though.
I think they must have known, yeah.
That's it, right.
Presumably, or they would have just taken the boats from them, because they were owned by the government anyway. So they'd... Right. They've just taken them off you, but we used to manage the boats. That's basically what it is for the government, the Ministry of Transport. Mm.
Yeah. Did it feel like war work? I mean, it was very important.
Oh yes, it? Yes, it was. Yeah, because we used to lose a lot of ships sunk. You know, particularly the in the Pacific with the Japanese, with the two-man submarines. I think we lost quite a few ships out there. Mm.
Yeah.
And of course, we used to have the crews. The ships used to have to be crewed, and the bills paid. We're all over the world, so.
Mm. So, I mean, would you go in the office one morning and get news that a ship?
Oh yes, down? Yes, yes.
Yeah. How would they learn about that? Would that?
Well, I suppose it came from the Ministry of Transport. Mm. The boat would be missing, and they. Yeah, I wasn't particularly involved. That side of it would be the management of the ships rather than what I was doing, which was the accountancy side of vessels. Mm.
But you'd all hear.
Oh, yes, hear. Yes. I mean, we had to know, if boats had gone down, yes. Yeah. Mm.
Whereabouts was the company in Cheltenham?
In the Promenade.
Oh, right.
It's a restaurant now. I think it was 81, the Promenade, I think it was, just by the municipal offices.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So I went in there the other day and had lunch.
Oh,
it was quite funny to go into where you used to work, yeah.
All those years ago.
Yeah.
So you stayed with them until you were called up, did you?
Yes, well, what happened was the war ended. And I think I was about 17 and a half when the war ended. And then everything went back to, it wasn't government controlled anymore. It was, you went back to being a normal shipping company. And you couldn't operate a normal shipping company from Cheltenham. You had to be in the city of London, where the what they call the Baltic Exchange is, because that's where you bid for cargoes. You go there, and they've got cargoes, and you bid for the cargo. And the boats were tramp, what they call tramp shipping, so they don't go between one port and another one and come back and that sort of thing. They just tramp all over the world, so they may not. They could be away for 3 or 4 years and never come home. So we had to go back to London. So when I was 17 and a half, I went back to London with them and worked in the city. Yeah.
Oh, right. So it was a bit of a change, wasn't it, for a lad from Cheltenham?
Yes, yes. I mean, I've been to London sort of previously, but not to work. So I mainly went back to them because if I knew I was going to get called up and I only had 6 months to do, so I'd have to find a job for 6 months. and that would have been difficult. And... also, they were a good company. They made up or they paid my wages when I was in the army, or made it up.
Yes.
So even though I didn't know what I was going to do when I came out of the army, it was worth going back to London.
Yeah.
And it was quite actually, it was good. It was a good experience, yeah.
Because the Baltic Exchange, from what you say, must have been getting going again.
Oh, yes, 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 yeah. And so we were in... Copthorne Avenue, that's where our first office is when we went back, in the city.
So were you you'd obviously risen a little bit from office boy by then?
Yes, well, another fellow had gone into the Navy, actually, and I took his place, so I'd gone up from the general office into the accounts department, So, I was living in, to be careful, I say this, Clapham Common. There was an LCC hostel for men in those days, and I wrote there. And so I lived there, and then for 6 months until I went into the army. Mm.
And you were doing quite a lot of figure work now, were you, in your accounts?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
Was that with ledgers?
Yes, that's right, yeah. Mm. My main job, actually, was claiming money back from insurance companies for people that had gone, crews that had gone sick. You know, if, for instance, if someone was taken ill on board a vessel and you had to put them ashore, then an insurance company, which was a mutual insurance company, all shipping companies paid into it, and then all the expenses for that sort of thing was with. So part of my job was that anyway. Yeah, I did a lot of that. Hmm.
So how did you look forward to your call up?
I didn't mind, I don't think, that too much, because everyone got called up. There were a few people who didn't, if they were in sort of doing apprenticeships. But if you weren't doing an apprenticeship or perhaps university, you went into the army or whatever.
Hmm. Were you sorry that you'd missed the war? You know, you missed the action?
I wasn't sorry at the time, but looking back on it, I'm sort of very interested in anything to do with the war. And so I feel I would like to have seen it. But I also had been like to have been in it.
What did your mother think about you being called up?
Well, the thing was that I'd left home anyway. So I went into the... I'd left home at 17 and a half, so it wasn't much change for her that I went into the forces, because I was away from home anyway.
Yes, yeah. Mm.
And my brother had already been called up, so he was away, so my mother was then on her own. Mm.
So when you got your call-up papers, where did they tell you to go?
To Colchester.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was a bit disappointed going into the army, because I volunteered for the Navy.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why was that?
Well, mainly because I had two close friends who'd both gone into the Navy, and they'd gone into, I think it was sort of the supply side of the Navy, and they'd both... gone abroad. One had gone to into Colombo in those days. Yeah. The other one had gone to Canada, and I sort of would have liked to have done something like that. So I volunteered. But when I was going into the army, the war was I think it was over, and so they were cutting down on the various forces, and the Navy was one they were not really taking people into, so that. That was that. So I went, finished up going in the army. I did actually have a naval, you know, medical and all that sort of thing, but eventually it was turned down and went into the army, but mainly because they weren't taking people in the Navy then, nothing else, yeah.
So what sort of unit was it at Colchester then?
Ah, well, everyone went into the army and you did basic training. So you went in, I don't know what we were called. it was just basic... Yeah, that's right. But what you're attached to is, we were attached to the Gloucestershire Regiment, and you were given 6 weeks what they call basic training, which is mainly infantry training, learning how to shoot a rifle, etc., etc. Until you, after 6 weeks, you were then posted into a regiment of whatever you were suited for.
So we'll go into that basic training in a bit more detail, if we may. Do you remember your journey to Colchester? You went off on the train?
It was quite, I do.
Did you meet up with other people going?
A chap I was at school with, a chap called Don Carr, and he was going down there as well. Mm. Mm. So we both went down on the train, together.
So did they meet you at the station, or...?
Oh, yes, yeah, well, yes, that's right. Everybody got off the train, and we were all in civvies, and there was, the army were there in trucks to pick us up, yeah.
So they took you off to the barracks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what was your arrival like there?
Okay, I think, we were... The thing was that most of us, I expect, particularly myself, had been doing military training before we went into the forces.
Had you?
I was in the Army Cadet Corps, because everyone at school tended to join the Army Cadets. Mm-hmm. So I'd been in the Army Cadets, and I'd also been in the Air Cadets. Changed to the Air Cadets because they used to go flying. When I was in Cheltenham, I was in the Army Cadets, and then when I don't know what age, perhaps 16, something like that, went into the Air Cadets, and then we would go flying from Staverton with the RAF.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you'd been quite keen on all that side of it, really?
I suppose we were all into it, really, yes. There was sort of big parades of cadets, through the town, Yeah, but yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
How did the NCOs treat you when you first arrived there? Were they quite civil or there?
Yeah, they varied. Mm. Some were okay, some weren't, you know. Mm. Mm.
Did you get a full issue of equipment and
yes.
uniform when you
yeah.
arrived?
Yeah, yeah. Probably within a, probably almost maybe the first day or the second day, certainly. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
And you were put into a barracks?
Yes.
Yeah, so... What was it like that first couple of days in barracks? Because you had a lot to learn, didn't you, about how to look after the equipment and, you know...
Yes, it didn't worry me, because I was used to sort of, I'd been in army uniform anyway. You know, you knew what your uniform was going to be, and there was no problem. And being away from home anyway, to me, it was nothing.
Yeah.
But to a lot of them, it was a bad experience.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. People who'd never been away from home, many of them used to cry every night in the barracks. Yeah. it is amazing, isn't it? 18-year-olds, but they did, yeah. But it didn't worry me.
Yeah. So what did they start off by training you in, you know, because they've got all these assorted 18-year-olds, haven't they?
Yes, yes, yeah. Well, you're put into a squad we were in companies, and I think I was in A company and we were in number one squad or something. That's 30 of you, and you're given there was a sergeant in charge of that squad, and then there would be a corporal and a lance corporal, and they were responsible for training you, then you were part of a battalion, I suppose. So although we were in companies, then you'd have a church parade and there would be the whole several thousand of us, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. I was lucky. We had a very good sergeant, and the corporals and the lance corporals actually were sleeping in the same rooms as you. Mm-hmm. The sergeant had their own, but they used to they were in. But of course, they were responsible for training you, and if you didn't come up to scratch, then they were in trouble, going to put it that way. So there was obviously a certain amount of military discipline, but we were lucky. We had, you know, in fact, we liked the people, but there were other ones which were not very nice at all.
Right. Mm. Do you remember your sergeant's name?
Yeah, Mahoney. Burma Mahoney. He'd been in Burma, so he was known as Burma Mahoney, yeah. Yeah.
Did he talk much about it? Yes,
only if questioned. I don't think it wasn't the sort of thing they'd sit you around and tell you about. No, no. Yeah.
So you got on all right with the square bashing then, did you?
No problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people found it hard though.
Yeah, two left feet. Yeah, some people were useless. And that's the thing that they were sort of... It was important that they had all that training was right, because they were, in a way, you were competing with other squads. Mm. That's how they sort of fixed it, so that you came up to, made it a bit sort of competitive.
And what weapons training did you do on your basic?
Rifle shooting and Bren guns.
Mm-hmm. Mm. How did you get on with that?
Okay, yeah, don't think I was the best shot in the world. But yeah, okay.
And what other things? Fitness, I suppose, was the other thing.
Yeah, obviously you did route marches and cross-country running and PE and all that sort of... Yes, lots of that.
Mm. How tough was that?
Not too bad. Mm. No, it was okay. That was all right. Mm. Managed that without any problem.
Yeah. So what were the living conditions like and the food and that sort of thing?
Well, we were in barracks. I wouldn't call them... certainly not luxurious in any way. I mean, you didn't have your own rooms or anything. Mm. It was very basic, yeah. Mm. I can remember we had our beds, we were in bunks, so you'd have a bunk. And then we didn't have mattresses, you had what they call biscuits. That was three square things which went together. But if you went to sleep when you woke up in the morning, they'd all moved and you were on the springs. And I can always, it was in July, but the nights were cold. I can remember you always used to wake up cold in the mornings, yeah, with about two blankets or something like that. Nobody had pyjamas.
So what So did everybody manage, or did any people...
Oh, yeah, they all managed, yeah.
Fall out? Or
couldn't fall out anyway. Mm. I mean, the only way you'd fall out, I suppose, if you were found medically unfit. But, yeah, there was no things like hot water. Didn't have huge, and everybody had to shave whether you wanted to shave or not. And you were given plates and mess tins and that sort of thing. And they had to be washed. But so you'd have a breakfast or something in it, but you had no hot water. You just used to wash these things in big, huge drums of cold water. I mean, the grease, you could imagine. But they all had to be clean when you had an inspection. Mm. Mm.
So it was tough enough, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a bit sort of where you had no spare time because you were up at sort of 6 o'clock in the morning, and you had to be on parade and worked all through the day, and then in the evening you had to sort of polish your boots, clean your uniform, or your buttons, or your kit had to be right for inspection in the following morning. You had no time. And the other thing was you didn't get out of barracks. I think we didn't get out of barracks until probably after about 4 weeks.
Really?
Hmm.
So you had no spare time, so you couldn't really go anywhere, or they didn't allow you out?
You weren't allowed out until, I think, about... Perhaps after 4 weeks we may have got out on the Saturday evening or something like that, or the Sunday. But I don't even remember going into Colchester a couple of three times, perhaps. Maybe we got it on the Sunday. Mm. And they usually finished up in a church army place where they used to give you a cup of tea and something to eat. And there was somewhere to go, really. Yeah.
Right. So you did 6 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you did a passing out parade, did you?
Oh, yeah, we did all that, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So yeah. Did you have any idea where you'd be sent after the basic?
Yes, I did, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, when I was in the... when I went to London, I went into what they call this LCC hostel for men. And while I was in this hostel, apart from civilians, there were quite a lot of army personnel. Mm. And they were all working at the War Office, and because I had a commercial education, I'd learned shorthand, and they said to me, "You're a bit unique. You don't find many men shorthand." So they were all sergeants, and they said to me, "All you've got to do is to get to Cirencester, which was an army college, and you can, if you want to, they'll give you a test, and if you fail your test." You'll be kept there for about 6 months, and you'll be doing training for 6 months in Cirencester, which is 16 miles away, isn't it? And they'll teach you, well, it'll be shorthand and typing mainly, and other clerical duties. But they said at the end of it, if you're a shorthand writer like you are, there's no doubt about it, you'll come straight back to London into the War Office, and you'll be made up to a sergeant. So I thought this was the ideal thing to do. So I put in for this when they asked. I mean, some chaps wanted to go on and be infantrymen in the Gloucestershire Regiment. Others were interested in vehicles, so they would go into Remy or something. But I put down for this sort of work, which was the RASC. So I was then got it, and I was posted into the RASC at Cirencester.
Oh, right. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the college at Cirencester. I haven't heard about that.
Ah, well, it's on the Tetbury Road out of Cirencester.
It's not and the Royal Agricultural College.
No, it wasn't the Royal Agricultural College, but it was not far away from it.
Right.
But it was on the Tetbury Road, mm-hmm. and it had previously been an American hospital. So it was a very large area, all Nissen huts. And it was a hospital for, but they brought the Americans wounded back to Cirencester. After they'd gone, the British Army took it over and turned it into a school. And I think it was pretty big. There were, I should think, and I think there must have been at least over 1,000 people there. Yeah, it was a big, big camp, yeah.
Right. So what sorts of things were they learning?
Yes, it was, I mean, the squad I was in was doing all shorthand typing. Mm-hmm. But I think it was mainly for army clerks, mm-hmm. clerical side. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what would they be learning? Army systems?
Yes.
How things were done?
Yes, right? Yeah.
What were the lecturers like? You know, were they regulars or?
No, they would have been men that were called up during the war and had not yet been demobbed. Because, I mean, I went in and the war was over, but the people hadn't been demobbed. Some had, but a lot of them were still in the army. Mm. Mm. So they were just, we had a sergeant who was a bit useless militarily. Yeah, yeah.
Had he been in during the war?
I suppose so, yeah, I think so. But he was more of an academic than a soldier,
right.
And he wasn't really able to control us. Mm. And
really?
Yeah.
So there were people doing clerical stuff. Mm. There were people doing shorthand and typing. Were there any other types of stuff being taught there? Or
no, not.
They were all doing.
Yeah, I think it was all that sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. What was the atmosphere like? Did it feel like quite a cushy sort of number to have? Or?
Yeah. Yes, it was. It was. Mm. And I was. The situation with me was that I could write shorthand, but I purposely failed the test because if I'd passed it, I would have been posted out somewhere straight away. But because I was at Sarancestor, I knew if I failed it, I'd stay there for 6 months, which was only 16 miles up the road, wasn't it?
I purposely failed it.
Yeah,
right.
And then got posted into it, but it was rather silly because what they were doing, they were teaching people shorthand, mm. but I could already write it. I was, in fact, I used to take over from the sergeant and teach sixth class, yeah, because I didn't need to to learn it.
So he knew you could do it?
Yeah.
So this was a conspiracy going on, really, wasn't it?
Well, yes, I mean, he knew.
I suppose. Yeah.
Well, if he was called out somewhere for some reason, then I could take the class. Mm. So, also because I lived in Cheltenham and a lot of the regular soldiers used to come over to Cheltenham, they got to know that I was from Cheltenham. Mm. And one of them was going with a girl in Cheltenham, and he was a sergeant. And they needed somebody in a squad to be a corporal. You weren't paid for it. Mm. But because we got to know each other and came to Cheltenham, I was made up to that. He arranged it. So I then got out of all sorts of guard duties and things like that. And we more or less had our weekends free.
Really?
So I used to come back to Cheltenham every weekend, stay overnight on Saturday to my mother's house. Mm. And knowing lots of friends, I used to bring a lot of chaps over. My mother was one that liked a full house. Mm. So we'd come over and several of us would stay here and go to the town hall dances and then go back to the army on Sunday.
Doing a 5-day week, really?
It was a bit like that. Yeah.
Did you do any training or fitness or anything?
We'd still go marching around the countryside and doing PE. Yeah, we'd still do all that, but then went to school, really. Mm.
Yeah. Was it a happy time?
It was okay. The trouble was it was terribly cold. It was the bitter winter of 46-47, and it was terribly cold, and there was no heating, there was no form of heating, there was no coal or anything like that. The only coal that was available was for the cookhouse, and there was always an armed guard on it.
Really?
Mm. So you couldn't we used to go into the woods and knock down the trees and that up there and put them into the the fires in the huts, yeah, that was the way it went.
So quite tough, really.
Yeah, it was very, very cold, yeah, mm. But it was okay. It was obviously a lot less relaxing being in an infantry regiment. Mm. Mm. Mm.
Right. Bernard Cox, end of reel one. Bernard Cox, reel